everyone. This is Annie Esposito, and I'm with Brian Truck and Broad, and we're just having a conversation about what the best approach is to talk with pastors about the exciting UCAT. So, Brian, can you tell me what you're planning to say to the priests when you talk to them?
Well, I can tell you what I have been saying to the priests. So I just started making a couple calls yesterday and today. And so basically, it's very, very simple, Annie. I'm calling up and saying, you know, hi, Father. It's Brian Truckenbrode with Ignatius Press and Lighthouse Catholic Media. How's it going? And, you know, your normal kind of small talk. And say, you know, Father, I'm calling you for a really specific reason. Have you heard about the UCAT? And then I wait for a response. You know, and they'll say, oh, yeah. Or they'll say, UCAT, no. Like this morning, I just got off a call. He's like, UCAT, no. What is UCAT? So, and then I explain. I say, well, the UCAT is the Youth Catechism for the Catholic Church. It just came out. In fact, it was just printed in April, and the first two printings of it are already totally gone. And we're, you know, they're doing another one right now. But the Pope commissioned this to be done, and he's actually saying, he wrote the whole foreword to it, and he's saying, he's talking to young people, I beg you, study this catechism. You know, read this catechism, share it with your friends, all that kind of stuff. In fact, what I'm actually doing is saying, Father, if I could, let me read you a quote real quick. And then I go ahead and read it. You know, the Pope says, study this catechism. This is my heartfelt desire. Study this catechism with passion and perseverance. Study it in the quiet of your room. Read it with a friend. Form study groups and networks. Share with each other on the internet. You need to be more deeply rooted in the faith than the generations of your parents. Pope Benedict XVI. So anyway, Father, I wanted to, one, share that with you and see if, because a lot of the parishes around here are already ordering this. And so I didn't know if you were aware of it yet, but definitely wanted to, one, make you aware of it, and two, be a resource for you about it. So it's pretty much like that to start out, Annie.
Great. Okay. And in terms of the next step, if he says, yeah, I'd be interested in something like this, do you offer any suggestions in terms of how they can use it, or are you specifically suggesting they order it for their staff or for the all the children?
Well, I guess until I get, I do, you know, want to say or give them an indication of how others are using it. So depending on what he says, right, the conversation will naturally, you know, go in one direction or another. One might be, hey, this sounds neat, but there's, you know, it's, you can clearly tell it's not a great time for Father to talk. Then I'm scheduling a time to come out and, you know, hey, I'd really like you to see it. Why don't we schedule a time? I'm going to be in your area, you know, next week, and maybe we can get together for, you know, a few minutes and look at this. And, or if it is a good time to talk, I might say, well, you know, Father, do you have just a few minutes to talk about this? He says, yes. I'll say, you know, I'd like to share with you what some others are doing with this. First of all, this book, it's creating a ton of excitement. My own kids, and I use the example, you know, my oldest is 18, almost 19, and I showed it to him, and he's usually very reserved about his faith and things like that. And he was like, Dad, this is really cool. My 17-year-old I gave it to, I came back like an hour later, he's still reading it. I'm like, Mike, what are you doing? He goes, nothing. You know, I'm like, well, what do you think of the UCAT? He's like, this is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. My daughter, I was looking everywhere for my last copy of the UCAT, and finally I found it in my daughter's room on her bed. I'm like, Megan, did I leave this in your room, or did you? And she's like, no, I was just reading it. It's engaging, you know. So I'm saying, Father, it's really, you know, it's really an engaging kind of a thing. They put a ton of research into this, where they consulted young people and experts around communications and, you know, how is this going to be received by the younger generation? You know, how can we make it more appealing, that kind of thing. So this is going to be the staple. This is going to be the standard for the catechism for people in confirmation, you know, anybody at junior high age and above. So a lot of schools are getting this for, so a lot of them right now, I have one priest, the first priest I talked to about this hadn't even seen the UCAT yet, and he said it fills the perfect need. The kids don't read the bigger catechism. They need something more concise, something more succinct, and I want one for every one of the kids in my high school. And so we're seeing a lot of that, a lot of people saying, hey, for religious ed, for confirmation, let's get one for the people in confirmation, or let's at least make it available. One school, someone called me yesterday and said their school is, they're going to make it available to everyone. It's required as one of the textbooks for their religion class this year, for all six, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth graders.
Okay,
So
so he
anyway,
would.
I know I'm kind of running on, Annie, but this
So
is
if
the
he,
kind of conversation that we
yeah, if he's looking, if he's open to hearing more ideas, you have them ready to go to share with him in other parishes. Okay, and
Yeah,
then what is.
absolutely. And I'm probably not going to keep going on and on. I'll try to get some feedback from him after each thing. But the key is, if he's within reach, I want to go see him. You know, and hopefully I've piqued his interest enough that, you know, hey, I'd really like to show this to you. Are you going to be around, you know, do you have mass on Thursday morning or whatever it is?
To show him, great, because
Yeah,
okay.
and if he doesn't, right? If he's like, or if he's too far away or whatever, say, Father, you know, I can get you a great discount on this book. Would you like me to send you a few? I mean, it won't be that expensive. We'll give you the benefit of a discount that usually it would take, you know, 50 to 100 books in order to, excuse me, usually it would take an order of 50 books or so to get, you know, a 20% discount, but I can arrange it for you and get them to you. I just need your okay, and I'll send you kind of a sample pack, and you can see this, and you and your team can take a look at it.
Great. Okay. So two more questions for you. What if you've already called the priest just recently and had a conversation about the new Mass translation?
Ah, perfect. I think that is a great scenario. At first, I think a lot of times people's reaction might be, "Oh, I just called Father. You know, I can't call him again. I just talked to him, you know, 2 weeks ago about this." And but I think it's actually kind of the perfect scenario. And what I mean by that is, you know, I would put the people that you just spoke to, the pastors you just spoke to about the new translation, into a few different buckets. One would be, they said, yes, you know, we're getting them for everyone, or we're gonna put them in our kiosk, or whatever the yes answer was. They're ordering the new translation CD and booklets from us. That's a great scenario. If if you've been on some of the calls recently with Dave Duran, he talks about what's the best time to expand or go deeper, or pitch maybe another idea to someone is right after you've just had success, and they're still excited about it. So if they've already said yes to the new translation, excuse me, then it's the perfect time. It may not seem like it, but believe me, they like you. They ordered from you. They're ready to order again. They like your ideas. Bring it to them, you know. The second bucket would be, well, they said, all right, thanks for the information. You know, let me think about it. Or maybe we have something scheduled, or maybe you don't have something scheduled, but, you know, Father's got the info on the new translation, and he's going to discuss it with his staff and everything else. So great. I mean, is an appropriate time for a touch point, you know. Can you schedule a meeting to go over that? Or maybe you have some, always if you have some new information, that's a great time for a status check on something and to try to move the ball forward. But also to provide, you know, to call and say, hey, you know, I know you're considering the things about the new translation. There's something else that I really wanted to talk to you about because it's so timely, and I wanted to make sure that you're in the know about this, and that is the UCAT. You know, have you heard of it? Are you guys doing anything with it yet? But if he hasn't heard it, just say, you know, Father, it'll definitely be worth your while. I need to have a conversation with you about this, because this is taking the country kind of by storm, and the Pope is begging, his words, everyone to to take a look at this new youth catechism, you know. So add information. The second bucket is they're already considering mass translation. Add this to it, you know. Set up another meeting so you can move the ball forward potentially on both. The third bucket is people that said, you know, no, we're doing something different for the new translation. You know what? That's fine, and you can absolutely respect that opinion. But I would say calling them, you know, sometimes people feel bad that they said no about something. Maybe that's not the impression you have with some of the priests. That's okay too. But calling them with this information, think about this. People with the new translation of the Mass, they have their own ideas sometimes about what they're going to do. Many of them are very open, but some of them say, oh, no. You know, my own pastor, for example, said, you know, we're going to address this, but we're not going to make this big deal about it beforehand. We're going to address it right when the time is upon us, you know, right before Advent. Great. That's fine. But does that mean that he wouldn't be open to a discussion about something else that is really, really timely? His people in his organization, the director of religious ed and the youth director, they know about the UCAT. He might not. I think he will appreciate information and being in the know about what's coming.
Great. Well, that lends itself perfectly to the last question, which is who all should you be talking to in the parish about this? And what, you know, what does that conversation sound like? And do you go to the priest first and then go to other people? How are you working out?
Okay, so I would say whoever you have a relationship with, that's where I would start. If you know, we're all kind of accustomed to, for your own parishes, I guess that's the question first. Two camps. One is for our own parishes is one approach. For brand new parishes is slightly different. For our own parishes, look, you've already sold them. How do you sell them? How do you sell them Lighthouse? How do you get things done in that parish? Or who do you know that gets things done in that parish and can help you navigate if need be? So that's who I would absolutely, and that's who I am calling first, is people that I already have a relationship with, because they already respect what I'm going to say. They're already interested. They know that we as Lighthouse people can bring them good ideas, you know. So I would start there. And sometimes they can give you good insight into, you know, how should I approach this person? What can you tell me about this person, right? And so you have kind of a heads up. If I'm talking with Father, for example, because he's my main contact, I'm still going to try to get to the director of religious ed or the youth director or directors. Because I think that's kind of and also whoever's in charge of religious ed in the school. So the superintendent or principal would absolutely be a good candidate to talk to. I stopped in at a primary center, you know, first through eighth grade Catholic school yesterday, just dropped in, and, you know, the principal's door was open. There's two people in the principal's office. No one else is around. I knocked on the door and had a nice, very brief conversation with the principal, and she said, you know what, our assistant principal is the one that's handling this. So great. That's another person for the list. Sometimes we're not sure who the person to talk to is, but I would say the pastor, youth director, director of religious ed, and whoever's in charge at the school of religion. Yeah.
When you're talking to the priest then, do you ask his permission to call these other people, or how do you let him know you will be calling those other people?
You know, I very rarely, if ever, ask permission to call somebody, because I really am of the opinion that you shouldn't give someone the authority to tell you no, especially if they wouldn't have even considered that before. But if you ask someone permission, all of a sudden they think, oh, you know,
They're
asking my permission. I can say yes or no. You know, I'd rather say, you know, Father, I'm talking to all the directors of religious ed that I can in the area. What is your DRE's name?
Great.
And same with youth director. You know, Father, youth directors are taking this and running with it. They're extremely excited about it because they know that the kids are excited about it. So, you know, a lot of and sometimes Father might not be as enthusiastic as you'd like, or too busy or grumpy or whatever it is. But if you can get in, and you don't necessarily need Father, if you don't, if you think there's risk in asking, in having Father ask or tell you who the youth director is or the DRE is, call the secretary. I mean, we always say we want people to call and talk to the decision maker. Absolutely, but when you're trying to find information, call whoever has the information, you know.
Yeah, and the parish websites have a
Oh,
lot of it posted
absolutely.
anyway. So the last question, I guess, which kind of, multi-level, but so if you have a DRE, Director of Religious Education, on the phone, do you say anything different? Is your approach different than what it was
Not
with
too
Father?
much. Not too much. One, I want to find out, have they heard of the UCAT? I called a DRE last week and I know her because it's in my parish. And but I said, her name's Charlotte. I said, "Char, have you heard about the UCAT and have you seen it?" And she said, "Yes, I've heard of it. No, I haven't seen it. I'm anxiously awaiting." She couldn't get one because they were out of print for a while already. And I said, "Are you doing anything right now?" And she said, "No." I said, "I'll be right over." And then I went over and sat down with her. And I actually gave her, I had two copies. I gave her one of them.
Well, it's pretty much the same as the priest.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Except
Okay.
that, as the director of religious ed, I got some information from her about, how's the school handling it? How's the youth directors? Who's important to get on board? And I asked her, I always say, who gets their way around here? And she said, the youth director and this other person who's actually the director of adult formation, but has input about everything. It's Father's right-hand person, So.
Excellent. Great. Well, we wanted to keep this brief, but just
Too late.
wanted to share ideas, and this is really helpful. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Annie. God bless. Bye-bye.